Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. Here's a weird story for you. I told you that after I traveled to Area 51 and discovered the time anomaly out in the desert on the way, some very weird things started happening. Just as soon as this was presented by the media, literally within a couple of hours, I started getting all these alerts that somebody's trying to hack into my systems, and I had to go and change my passwords, and a lot of very sort of weird things have happened in terms of just strange folks that I just keep running into over and over again. And, maybe I'm just being paranoid, but here is a good one. So I told you in the last podcast that I was contacted by a man who lives near Las Vegas. His name is Sean Kevin Jason. And once I posted the GPS coordinates of the spot where I recorded the time anomaly, he immediately posted on my Facebook page that that was the exact spot where he had a significant close encounter back in 1996 or 97, and of the giant Spielberg-esque type craft that appeared overhead, except in this case it was triangular with beams of light shining down, etc. And so he and I, of course, have continued to correspond, and I told him that I would definitely like to get together with him and go out to that spot and measure that spot with him there and have him tell me exactly what he saw and how everything looked and make sure that this is documented properly. So we've been working on plans to do that. And of course, after I do that, guess who's going to hear about the results first? You are, because I'm going to give the results on this podcast. So that's a very good reason to listen to this podcast. But he told me that his story has been featured in two different books. And so immediately I went and ordered those two books. One of them is called Somewhere in the Skies, A Human Approach to an Alien Phenomenon. And that book is written by a journalist named Ryan Sprague. And get a load of this, turns out the foreword written by Micah Hanks. Micah Hanks is my cousin. For decades, he and I have worked on investigations together. And, of course, next month in August, Micah will be one of the folks featured at George Norrie Live in Asheville, North Carolina, along with myself. So that was pretty cool. But anyway, I ordered this book, and I order stuff all the time off of the internet. I mean, to me, it's just the greatest thing in the world, because not only is it usually the best deal you're going to get for whatever you're going to buy, but also, I mean, now, boom, it's there the next day. I mean, if you live in a big city here in the U.S., I mean, like, for example, here in Las Vegas, they've got an Amazon facility of some kind right down the road, and I mean, your stuff is there the next day, so it's really cool. So I have a condo here in Las Vegas, and so, you know, I order things, and usually, because of how everything's set up, the delivery person will just, you know, leave it outside my door. And I've done that many, many times, and nothing weird has ever happened. Except this time, when I ordered these books about this case. So I woke up kind of late today. I was up all night working on stuff, and I woke up late, and I had the text from Amazon saying that one of my books had been delivered. So I opened my door, and here's the package. But guess what? It's been opened. It's actually been very nicely opened. Not like torn apart. Someone, you know, very carefully sliced the top off of this package. So I'm like, what the hell? So I open the thing up, and I pull out the copy of the book, just as I was expecting, called Somewhere in the Skies, but then there's a handwritten note inside. And I'm looking at it right now. And this writing, to me, looks like a man's handwriting. And I'm pretty good at handwriting analysis. And it says, "Hey, buddy. Package was sitting in front of my door. I, too, am expecting a package. I didn't even pay attention and opened it. Sorry, didn't realize it had your name on it. My bad." And there's no name or any other identifying elements here. This actually looks like sort of a piece of scrap paper. And so I have no idea who wrote this, where it came from. Now you can look at that and you can say, well, you know, just an honest mistake, you know, obviously some neighbor of yours accidentally got the package and was nice enough to put it where it belonged. But I just thought it was very ironic that under these circumstances that the one package that would be opened with a little note in it is this package containing this book, which talks about this guy's case with a close encounter when he and I are days away from going to this site together. And I'm not going to tell you exactly when I'm going to do it for obvious reasons, but we're going to go there and we're going to document whatever we can, and it's going to be, I think, pretty remarkable. But that said, I have the book here, and so I want to read you just some passages about this fellow's experience according to this book. So again, his name is Sean Kevin Jason. He's lived around here for a long time. It says here that this happened in 1996. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but because this is several pages, but I will tell you it's kind of odd because it starts with him being at work. He worked at a restaurant back then, and all of a sudden he just got this strange sensation that he needed to go out into the desert. As a matter of fact, it wasn't a pleasant sensation. It actually made him feel kind of nauseated. But it was so powerful that he was going to go clock out and ask if he could go home early. And it turns out that his manager was going to let him go home early anyway because it was a slow night. When I started reading this, and it reminded me of the Richard Dreyfuss role in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where it's just like certain people, for some reason that we don't explain, feel compelled, in a worst case scenario, obsessed to go out and make contact, and they're sort of led to do this by some kind of mental mechanism that is mysterious. So anyway, he's driving out there, and this is, you know, 9-10 o'clock at night. So very dark, and this happened, as he is telling me it did, at the spot where I got my time warp anomaly. I'm telling you, there's nothing out there. It's just dark, spooky desert. And so as he was driving, he saw some lights up ahead, and at first he assumed that it might have been somebody who was broken down on the side of the road. Now, when you live in a community like this, especially back in those days when cell phone signals were super sketchy. A lot of people still didn't even have cell phones in 1996. To this day, it's hard to get a cell phone signal. So it's kind of like a normal neighborly thing. If you see somebody who's broken down on the side of the road out in the desert, you pull over and you help them out before a serial killer comes along and has his way with them, right? You know, that's just sort of a kind rule of thumb here. So anyway, he saw these lights, and so he starts slowing down, and then he realized very quickly that this was no car on the side of the road. And then he starts trying to figure out, well, is this a police helicopter or you know, something like that. But once he pulls over, then he's able to very quickly realize that this is something completely freaky and extraordinary, and here is how he describes it according to this book. Says, within moments he found himself directly underneath them, and they were talking about these lights, quite a sight to behold. He said, quote, there were nine white lights in total. I could make out a large black triangle against the night sky. It was equilateral in shape with pointed corners. It was only about 20 feet off the ground. The front point of the triangle was directly over my head. Its rear extended across the road and many feet off into the desert. From the front point to the center of its rear, I would say the UFO was about 30 feet wide. The craft was low enough to the ground that my view of the horizon north of me was being blocked by it. End quote. He describes a little bit more. Quote, the lights were perfectly round. The face of the lights appeared to be made of glass. They were flat or flush with the surface of the craft. Inside the lights was an inverted chrome-colored cone. So anyway, at one point, he gets some binoculars out. He keeps binoculars in his car, and this thing's like sitting there hovering in the sky over him silently for like 10 minutes. So he goes and he gets some binoculars, but as soon as he grabs the binoculars, he turns around, boom, this thing's gone. So it's not like some balloon that's sort of drifting away. It's gone, and then he realizes that it now appears to be about a mile away. And so he's looking at it now through the binoculars, and he said this is when he noticed that it wasn't actually black, but more of a charcoal color. It was moving at a steady pace, but was drawing near a mountain. For a moment, he thought it was going to crash right into the rocky terrain. But as it reached the mountain, it seemed to almost climb the surface and float right over, completely disappearing out of sight yet again. It says, although this was the end of the events that night, Sean drove home with a wary eye on the skies above him. So, what an experience, huh? Again, that's a passage from this book called Somewhere in the Skies, A Human Approach to an Alien Phenomenon by Ryan Sprague. Foreword by Micah Hanks. And somewhereintheskies.com is Ryan Sprague's website address. So I can't wait to go out into the desert with this man who experienced this, that just so happened coincidentally to occur at the spot where I documented a time anomaly. What's going to happen? Well, I tell you one thing, I'm going to have my paratemporal night vision goggles. And again, these are special night vision goggles that are examined and calibrated just for paranormal research. Paratemporal.com is where you get those at. I'm going to have the paratemporal night vision goggles. I'm going to have the DT meter created by Ron Heath and some other devices. And we're going to go out there at night and we're going to see just what the heck happens. And I will be reporting that to you on this podcast. So make sure you listen. And if you want to stay up to date, just go to joshuapwarren.com and you'll find a button that says podcast, and when you click that button, you can subscribe through various means or just follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, and I'll tweet when a new one is available. Also, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll see big yellow letters at the top that say something like, Joshua is coming to Los Angeles. And that's because I am producing a wishing machine workshop in Los Angeles this year. Only 49 tickets total will be sold, and so if you want to be a part of that and come see me in person, you'll find all the information there at the top of the page at joshuapwarren.com. All right, that's it for this particular podcast. I think I'm going to be leaving some very exciting ones for you in the near future. So that said, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support and your interest, and you know, thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.